All right, we are back here on The Drive on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio, the Capital Region's home for New York sports. To say it was a busy 24 hours for the New York Giants might be an understatement at this point. A lot of roster churn, players in, players out, as the Giants kind of changed their mix in the early going here in free agency. So for the latest with the New York Giants and where they stand, we welcome on good friend of The Drive covering the Giants for the New York Post, Paul Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, but I don't know why you're calling me today. My calendar says free agency signing starts tomorrow. Right? Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday the 13th it starts, so... what do we have to talk about now, right?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I kind of wanted to hear how your offseason was going, any vacation plans, any good pizza recently. I just wanted to kind of catch up on those details. But I still don't understand the whole legal tampering thing. I don't know if I'm in the minority on this one, but the fact that there even is that kind of term, I still don't understand it. For a league that makes a lot of sense and a lot of things, I'll never understand that term.
You know, they've kind of moved away from that term.
Yeah.
That was something that they put in, you know, several years ago to kind of make it, because, look, there is a start to the league year, you know, the league calendar year, and that starts on the 13th. That's just for bookkeeping and, you know, how far after the Super Bowl and things like that. So they want to keep it the 13th this year. That's fine. So they called it the legal tampering period, and it was ridiculous. So now they just say that's like, I don't know, the start, you can open up negotiations, kind of thing. I mean, look, it started at noon yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And there were announcements at 12:02 about this guy's going here and this guy's going there. So that, to me, would be illegal tampering, right?
Yes.
Because technically you're not supposed to be able – the Eagles were not supposed to be able to start talking at all with Saquon until noon yesterday. And just like the Giants were not able to talk to John Runyon Jr. from the Packers until noon yesterday. So you mean to tell me all these deals are getting done in, you know, 15, 20 minutes, an hour, you know, with multiple teams maybe having interest in some of these players? So legal, illegal, yes, but it's really remarkable. Every year you're kind of bracing for it, and it's still pretty remarkable how that first day. Now, some years are different, right? Some years the Jets have a ton of money and they're going to go for it.
Yeah.
Some years the Giants have more money and they're and some years you have marquee free agents like Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney, and some years you don't. So every year is a little different. You know, last year was more of a waiting game and, you know, picking their spots. This year was lose Saquon, bang, lose Xavier McKinney, bang, and then start picking up guys. It was, and then the trade for Brian Burns, which is a blockbuster in and unto itself.
Yep.
So it was a pretty remarkable day, yes.
So, and on that kind of topic, did you have an expectation that the Giants could be as aggressive as they were within a 24-hour span?
I'm not going to say, look, the Brian Burns thing did not come out of nowhere.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not saying I predicted the Giants were going to trade for him. There's a lot of moving parts there. You know, first of all, you have to trade for the player, right? And you have to come up with compensation, you know, equitable to both teams for the trade.
Sure.
And then you have to sign the guy. No one is signing him. You know, he was the Brian Burns. The Panthers put the franchise tag of $24 million on Brian Burns. They should have traded him last year. They could have gotten first round picks from the Rams, and they didn't do it. That's why the Panthers are where they are. They're
right.
Not a smart organization.
Right.
You know, they're just not at this point.
Now, that's true.
Dan Morgan, the GM, they're trying to build things back up here. So, you know, so I knew that Brian Burns was going to be on the market. I did not know if the Giants would want to, you know, give up the draft capital and then come up with all the money it would take. And man, it's not $150 million. It's really $141 million. There's $9 million and some other, you know, gimmicks in there, but it's just a boatload of money. So I'm not saying that I predicted that, but, I knew it was somewhere on. I knew that they desperately, you know, maybe one step short of desperately, really wanted an edge rusher. They they didn't think one in the draft was going to be compatible with where they were drafting and what they needed. So this is a better way to do it because he has a proven track record in the NFL. And oh, by the way, he doesn't turn 26 till next month.
Ooh, don't mind that at all. So specific to Brian Burns and what you've seen, what you've read, what elements does he bring to the Giants defense that maybe they were trying to pursue that they were lacking in years past?
Are you familiar with Kayvon Thibodeau?
Very vaguely, yes.
They're similar players.
Okay.
They really are. They're
yeah.
they're not that big. They're very athletic. They're almost like power forward basketball players in football uniforms. Huh. You know, they're not going to, they can run through you, but they'd rather run around you, you know, and that's not a knock. It's just a style. Look, Michael Strahan could run around you or run through you.
Yeah.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Some guys can do that. Most guys can't. So, you know, Brian Burns had, what, 8 sacks last year? He had, I think, 12 the year before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I just talked to someone who had, you know, scouted him earlier today, and they said, you know, I said, 8 sacks last year? And they said, well, I put on tape of a game last year against the Lions, right? And they're losing 35-7 in the third quarter.
The
Panthers, right?
Yeah.
He said, how many pass rush opportunities do you think Brian Burns had in the second half of that game? So, and Kayvon Thibodeau could say the same thing, right?
True.
When did the Giants have a 2-touchdown lead where the other team was in pass-only mode and Kayvon Thibodeau and his guys could pin their ears back and go after the quarterback? You know, that it all feeds on each other. So he's a similar player. I think he's got a little more power. You know, he's been incredibly durable. He just does not miss games.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's young. So, look, is he worth $141 million? At this point, I would say no. But that's what free agency is. You overpay the first day of free agency. You know, we'll get into Saquon Barkley. Did the Eagles overpay for Saquon Barkley? They did.
Yeah.
That's what you do on the opening day of free agency for the most part, you know, and to get marquee guys. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
So right after the Barkley signing, a report came out from Jared Schultz of Bleacher Report that the Giants never made an offer to Barkley. What can you tell us about how those negotiations went between Barkley and the team and why he ended up going elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, we had that same report probably before him. my colleague Ryan Dunleavy has been on the Saquon thing, so I think he had that
okay.
earlier.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It wasn't going to work. You know, they tried since the bye week in 2022 to come up with a contract negotiation, and they've been talking and with an agreement with Saquon, right?
Mm.
It eventually got to 2 years with $23 million guaranteed. Saquon turned down, you know, several proposals, one at the bye week 2 years ago, certainly one after the season in 2023, I think at the bye week in 2023 as well. So, you know, I mean, they just knew it wasn't going to get done. They knew that Barkley and Joe Shane had an amicable discussion after the season, and it was basically, look, we'd love to have you back. You're going to hit the open market. You know, keep us posted and, you know, do what's best for you. And all parties knew what was best for Saquon is to go elsewhere. Because the Giants, I think, were looking at a running back more in the $7 to $8 million range or less.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have extended a little more for Saquon, but not a lot more. This is all... you know, look, last year when they offered him the 23, they were or after the you know, their first season together, the Giants came off a playoff, a winning record. They won a playoff game, and there was a sense, look, we got to keep this band together a little bit. That's why they kept they re-signed Daniel Jones. They wanted to re-sign Saquon. You know, they knew it would be a big PR hit if they didn't. And you know, they really wanted to sign Saquon so they would have the franchise tag to hold over Daniel Jones and to get that money down. And that just didn't work because Saquon didn't sign. So they had to put the franchise tag on Saquon. So that kind of messed them up with Daniel Jones. But look, it's all business. And Saquon ended up getting a lot more than he would have gotten from the Giants.
Mm.
You know, there was really no. I don't think they wanted to insult him with an offer because it was not going to be an offer he was going to take.
Now, and I'm sure you saw the reaction that came around. By the way, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post with us here on the drive. There were ranging emotions from a lot of the fan base. I, being a Giants fan, was obviously sad to see him go, but I think you nailed the most important part, Paul, in that it is a business, and this relationship was fractured for the better part of a year and a half, so I can't fault Saquon for taking money to go to Philadelphia or another team, and I can't fault the Giants for using that money elsewhere to improve their roster because they aren't a running back away from being a Super Bowl contender or something like that. So I was curious to hear what you thought of the reaction from that signing too.
Well, look, the reaction is the fans are fans. If there's not a reaction to Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants to go to the Eagles, I mean, my goodness. You know what I mean? Look. It matters where he went. There's no question about it.
Of course.
And when a guy becomes a free agent, you know, when the Giants say, okay, you know, go see what you're worth on the open market to Xavier McKinney or to Saquon Barkley, there's not, well, but please don't go to the Cowboys, you know, or we'd rather you don't go to the Jets. I mean, you're one team and there are 31 other teams out there, and you go where you get your, you can get your best deal and where you want to play and what's good for your family and all those other considerations. You know, usually the top of the list is who gives you the most money. So, I mean, Saquon was under no obligation to say, well, it's a little bit less from the Houston Texans, but they're a nice up-and-coming team with C.J. Stroud, so I don't want to ruffle any feathers with the Giants or their fans, so I'll go out of the conference and I'll go play for Houston and not the Eagles. I mean, the heck with that. He was brought up in Coplay, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philly. So,
right.
You know, he went to Penn State, so he's other than him playing for the Giants, he's a big man around there, you know, and so I understand fans, being hurt by it, but I think the fan reaction for the most part was correct. You know, look, there are some boneheads who say, screw Saquon for leaving us to go to the Eagles. You know, I hate him now. I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just silly. If Jacob DeGrom, Jacob DeGrom, the best thing happened, right, with him with the Mets. He went to the Rangers. Mets fans barely know the Rangers exist. Right? You know what I mean? Right. They're the Rangers.
Yeah,
they're
of course.
Yeah. They don't care. They're in a different league. It has no effect.
Yeah.
If Jacob DeGrom signed with the Braves, people would be all up in arms. But then you can complain about, well, why didn't we resign him? I think a lot. There's a segment of the Giants fans who say, I love Saquon. I have a 26 jersey. He should have stayed with the Giants. Joe Shane should have come up with the money. That's a fair. It's not really, I don't think, football-wise prudent to do it. But, if you love the player, you love the player. You want him to stay. I can get that. You know, anybody who says, Saquon went to the Eagles, I'll never forgive him, is just not understanding what business is all about. And, look, the Giants knew. Once he goes, look, there was all kinds of rumors that the Eagles were going to be interested. So once you let a guy go out the door, he can go sign with your greatest rival, and there's nothing you can do about it.
True. Very true.
Paul, the Giants get two new starters on the O-line on the opening day of free agency. Do you see any more offensive line additions, whether it's through the draft or through free agency? And what does all this mean for Evan Neal's future? Do you see him maybe moving to guard or taking a seat on the bench?
Well, as these things were happening, did you notice the guards were coming off the board?
Yeah.
And they were getting monster money.
Yeah.
Dickerson from the Eagles, and then just guys off the board were just, and I'm like, holy cow, the Giants are going to have to pay this kind of money. I mean, and it was just really, really, Robert Hunt got big money.
Yeah, $100 million.
What's his name? Jackson from the Lions, big money. Big money. And I thought the Giants had some interest in him. So I think the Giants did a good thing here. 3 years, $30 million. For John Runyon Jr. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember his father.
Mm-hmm.
His father was a pretty good player, a tackle for the Eagles, and he used to go against Michael Strahan, twice a season. John Runyon, and they used to, then he went into politics, John Runyon, a good guy, and he and Strahan had a good relationship, mainly because Strahan, dominated him almost every day. kind of like a big brother, little brother situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he's never missed a game, John Runyon Jr., in 4 years with the Packers.
Mm.
He's a good player. He's not a star. He is a good player. He's smart. I think he gave up 2 sacks last year. So, look, is he a premier guard in the league? No. He is a solid starter. You don't want him to be your best lineman on the field, but you can win with him. The Packers won with him, so he's a good player. And I have always trouble saying his name. Jermaine Eluemunor, I think is the way you say it.
Yeah,
Eluemunor. Yeah. Look, he's kind of been a journeyman. He found a job and a home with the Raiders the last 2 years. He played right tackle. He can play guard, certainly. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who think right now he is a better left. He's a better right tackle than Evan Neal is.
Okay.
Which is incriminating for Evan Neal. I don't think it means that, Eluemunor is a great player.
Yeah.
So I think what's going to happen is that he comes in and he Eluemunor and starts playing a bunch of different positions, guard, certainly right tackle, and it's a competition. Hmm. Evan Neal's coming back off ankle surgery, and it's a competition. It's may the best man win, and he got his kind of scholarship year last year, Evan Neal, as the number 7 pick in the draft, who had a really, really poor year. As far as moving Neal to guard, I think that's not in their thinking right now. I've had a couple of former NFL offensive linemen, some who played for the Giants and some who haven't, who just don't see him as a guard.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's just his body type, his footwork. He's just, you know, I know that's a common thing, I'll move him into guard. You know, and I know that Eric Flowers, who was a washout as a tackle for the Giants, you know, went elsewhere in Washington and went to guard and was a credible player at guard. But they're different players, different body types. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not saying they will never try it, but I think it makes the competition in the room and on the field better. And Evan Neal now knows that there's somebody out there who will take my job if I don't pick it up.
Right.
So the Bengals seem to be unwilling to give T. Higgins that long-term extension. Do you see the Giants maybe going after that? He requested a trade. What do you think that would take for the Giants, and do you think they're going to be among the suitors for T. Higgins?
I don't, because a couple of things. You know, they did have to give up draft capital to get Brian Burns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, they had 2 second-round picks. Now they have one. That the number 6 pick in a draft is not negotiable. They're not going to give that up.
Mm.
And this draft is loaded with running back, with wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, loaded. T. Higgins is really good, but why give up assets for a player who's been in the league for a guy? I mean, the Giants can sit at 6 and take any one of 3 players at wide receiver, and they are golden at that position. They are, I mean, Rome Odunze is a beast.
Yeah.
Neighbors from LSU is a beast. We're assuming Marvin Harrison Jr. won't be there. He's a beast. So, you know, look, every year receivers go high, and every year they're highly valued, but this year is different. I mean, there's probably 10 guys who go in the first round, maybe more, and the 3 at the top are, like, legit, legit prospects, you know, big-time Odell Beckham or better-type prospects. So, you know, I think the Giants know they can just sit at 6 and get their best, you know, their number one wide receiver without giving up anything.
That works for me. That is Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Going to be fascinating to follow this team throughout the remainder of the offseason. Make sure you follow all of Paul's coverage at nypost.com. Paul, thank you for the time and the insights during a busy time. We always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks. A pleasure. Take care.
That is Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Plenty more of The Drive coming up right after this here on 104.5 The Team.